Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And happy anniversary to us.
Yay!
My little maple leaf rattle, if you can hear that. Anyways, long story about that, but we'll get into that later. Officially, our anniversary is actually on September 5th, so it's a few days away, but we need to keep organized for our listeners, or we need to keep, yes, we definitely need to keep organized with our listeners because we publish on the first Wednesday of every month, so which is Wednesday, so which is in a couple of days, but yeah. And this is our 16th episode, and things are going good. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Syl?
I think they're going awesome. It's been a really wonderful year and a wonderful ride so far. And we're looking forward to many, many more years of this and just getting better and better. Before we start, though, we do kind of want to give a little bit of a shout out to two listeners that we actually have in Japan who've basically been listening to us almost from the very beginning. And we want to thank them as we love to thank all of our listeners. But for halfway around the world listening to us, we'd love to hear from them and hear from you as to how you found out about us and also how you became Leaf fans and how you actually managed to, you know, follow them, like with that time zone difference and everything. Anyway, we find that pretty incredible. So we just wanted to give a special shout out to these couple listeners that we have in Asia, which is like so, so far away. And we just feel so, so privileged to have you listening to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dedication anyways.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So yeah.
Anyway, we're going to give you a bit of an outline for our episode, what we're going to cover today. We're obviously, the Leafs are the gift that keeps on giving, and we have our thoughts to give on the Kapanen deal. We also are going to talk a little bit about the media availability comments after the playoffs, which we didn't get into last episode from Shanahan and Dubas. And also our own thoughts on the direction that the team is going in and what we think kind of needs to happen in the offseason. We're going to give you a bit of a review of the player contracts in terms of the UFAs, RFAs, players that are playing in the KHL. And then we have a very, very special announcement. We're going to be announcing the winner of our first anniversary Instagram giveaway. So without any further ado, let's get on with our show.
All right. So first, we're getting into the Kapanen deal. Kasperi Kapanen traded last week, obviously. So as to whether or not this was the right move, like for him to be the first one to go. I mean, it was really, for me, it was really between him and Janssen, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think, I mean, let's get into the details of the trade first, I guess. Basically, it was Kapanen going to Pittsburgh for Evan Rodriguez, which is a right winger. He's 27 years old from Toronto, too, which I didn't even realize he's from Toronto. So that might, well, normally when they're a hometown boy, it's a good thing. But he is an RFA, so we're not tied to anything. That's kind of good, too. Philip Hallander, which a lot of people are high on this kid. He's only 20 years old. He's a center. And he was, I guess, rated fourth on Pittsburgh's list of prospects. So he was very pretty good and drafted in 2018 in the second round. And he's played in Sweden the last couple of years. They're saying that he's basically another skilled player that could fit a bottom six role, which is important for us, especially with the flat cap that's going to be here for the next couple of years. And then there was also David Warsawski. I knew I'd have trouble with that, but he's 30 years old, but he hasn't played in an NHL game since 2017-18. So he's basically more of a Marlies pickup replacement for the Jesper Lindgren, who also went to Pittsburgh in the deal. So so he's more of a AHL player. But I was pretty happy that we basically were able to free up the cap space. I think that's what Kyle Dubas, I think, is freeing up the cap space to try and do something else. Like he said in his press conference that he's not done. So I don't know. What do you think?
One thing you didn't mention, which you're going to kick yourself that you didn't mention, is the first round pick that we got.
Yeah,
she's back.
She was looking at me while I was going through all that, and I did totally miss that, even though it was number one on the page.
Yeah, I know. It's number one on your list.
Saved it for you, Sil.
Wow, I really appreciate that. You're so kind. You just keep giving me these gifts. It's kind of interesting that they ended up getting that first rounder back. It's sort of funny because Kapanen it's like Pittsburgh basically used two first round picks on him. So, we got him, we developed them a little bit for them, and now he's going back there and he's ready to step in. So it's kind of interesting that way. As far as the first round pick goes, I kind of find it interesting. I wonder if they're actually going to use it I know he's come out, Dubas has come out and said they're willing to deal it. So he is sort of kind of gathering some assets and clearing cap space. And I remember when Kapanen got signed last summer for the amount that he did, him and Janssen both, we both commented at that time that their contracts were really structured so that they were movable. Like that was definitely, for sure, that was part of the rationale, I think. And as far as who else they got, I think that the Philip Hollander, I think Dubas was really high on him and he was on their draft board as well. And they were hoping that he would be available for them to pick. So I think that he's somebody that's been on their radar. He's not necessarily a big goal scorer, but he is a super hard worker. And he's a really good two-way player. So like he's got apparently a very, very good mental makeup and attitude in that he is willing to kind of do whatever is asked of him. He's extremely coachable player. And so he's like, if I only play on the penalty kill and the power play, like those are the things that, you know, he's very much going to, I think, in their plans as far as a good specialty teams, bottom six depth person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they all have, it's funny because everybody that I've, in preparation for this episode, I was looking at all these different players and that we that we got or have gotten, and a lot of them, majority of them, are on these entry level contracts, which I think mm-hmm. is really the key. Because there's him, there's that Mikhail Abramov, I think it is, and right. which we'll get into a little bit later, and then the oh God, I forgot the other guy's name. He's in here too. That we're going to mention him later, but yeah, the. It's just, I think with the salary cap, that's really what this is going to help us, so that we can get a quality defenseman, hopefully, mm-hmm. in the long run. But right. I don't
think that Hollander, for example, I don't think he'll be here this year. I think he's still going to be probably playing in Sweden this year. But and as far as Rodriguez, I think... you know, I think he is arbitration eligible as well. So it's just a question as to whether or not they decide they're going to keep him or let him just become a UFA and not qualify him at all, right?
Yeah.
That could happen also.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Kapanen too, I don't know where he... I mean, this year I was just looking at his stats, I guess, for this past season. And I guess in 69 games, he had 13 goals, 23 assists for 36 points. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he played with Matthews. I know that at one point he couldn't get a connection there. He played with Tavares as well.
Yeah.
I think, right? For a little bit.
Yeah. And Marner.
Mm-hmm. I think it was. Yeah. Like he did. So it just doesn't seem to be a fit there. I don't know why. No. Like, I mean, if you can't. Maybe he needs Sidney Crosby, I guess. I don't know.
Well, right? Except that Sidney Crosby doesn't make everyone better either. I mean, there's always been that question. Like, I know that he can make certain guys like Gunsel and Rust and stuff. They don't always play with him. Like, he's not necessarily the guy that makes everybody better. I've heard it in the past that it's hard to find fits for him. And sometimes it's these kind of lower level guys that do play well with him. But usually, like, there's a very specific person. I can't even remember the guy that played with him for so many years that was not, I think, Chris Kunitz, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's not a lighted up kind of guy. And they kept coming back to him because hardly anybody could play with him. So I'm not sure that maybe he's got a good fit with Malkin, though. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that could be actually better.
That's not up to us now. He's
nope. He seems pretty happy to be going. So he can take his dogs and go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he'll be fine there, I guess. Like,
I guess Willie will miss him because they're buds. Yeah. But
I didn't notice anybody, but everybody seems to be laying low of the players, anyways.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah, I didn't notice like anybody giving him like best wishes or anything like.
No, was somebody that posted something on Instagram. I can't remember.
Oh yeah.
No. Yeah, anyways. It was, but it was just like one guy kind of thing. So,
but yeah, so
yeah, they are definitely laying low. I've noticed that.
Yeah, yeah, you don't see many comments anywhere, sort of thing.
No.
So, at least when it's related to hockey, anyways. Yeah, but yeah, so Kyle Dubas, anyways, still has a lot of work to do in front of him, right?
Yeah. So, I guess. We'll take a look at what they talked about a little bit at the end of the season, media availability. And basically, Shanahan at that time, we didn't really get too much into it. He did acknowledge the fans' disappointment and basically that he understood, you know, that we're upset, and mentioned also how it's been 16 years without a playoff series win and 53 years without a cup. No kidding. And Dubas kind of dug his heels in. And interestingly, he basically says that he's not stubborn because I guess he feels that I do think he follows along what's going on with social media because
that I think is referencing though Mike Babcock.
Yeah.
A little bit. The stubborn part?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, a little bit. That's how I found it interesting, but. Anyways, I mean, that's long gone.
He has his vision, obviously, for the team, But he basically made a point of saying that it's not necessarily fixed and that he's not fixed on doing things only one way. So, you know, when he talked about with the Kapanen trade, he said that if he could get another Jake Muzzin, he would certainly be interested in that, to put it mildly, is what he said. So sounds like he wants to address the defense issue. So what do you think of that?
Well, I actually went through on Cap Friendly yesterday. Mm-hmm. I went through all the players to look for a right-hand shot or right-shot defenseman. There's not too many right-shot defensemen out there.
No, regardless
of whether they're good or bad.
There's not too many right shot players, period. That's I was looking this up, and there's like 70% of the league are left shots.
Yeah.
So they are really kind of a bit of a unicorn to find these guys. So yeah. I kind of want, like, that's why really when you're looking for specific things, sometimes the draft is where you find these things. So
yeah. And he'd mentioned that too in his in one of the press conferences. Dubas mentioned how, like, basically you get that top stud defenseman in the draft. That's how you get them generally. But I mean, CeCe and Barry are most likely gone. We know that. So CeCe is going to give us $4.5 million cap relief. So I mean, you add that to Kapanen's 3.2, I think it was 3.2, right, from what I said before. So I mean, he's obviously collecting a little bit of money there. Dubas is, like, to put something towards it. I'm hoping that they're not going for that Pietrangelo. I think we need somebody a couple of years younger anyways, if we go the trade route.
Well, interestingly, there's, according to the draft boards for North American skaters anyways, around the 15-16 spot where we would be picking is a guy, last name is Baron. I think it's Justin or Jason Baron. Anyways, player from the Halifax Moosehead. And he's a right shot D. And interestingly, his comparable is Pietrangelo.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was sort of interesting. Was very, kind of interesting. I have to do a little bit more homework on, you know, how good this kid is. He has a brother who plays in the league right now as well. I can't remember which team, but so I thought that's sort of kind of,
but we want somebody to step in
right now. I know, exactly. So it's like, obviously
we need it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, anyways, I think Pietrangelo is, they're somehow going to get it done in St. Louis. I think he wants to stay there too. So
yeah, his wife's from there too. So yeah. Yeah. I really doubt she wants to move here. Although somebody did bring up that a lot of Americans don't mind moving to Canada right now. So I don't know, but
that would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the guy who I was thinking to go after, and this has come up before, but it's kind of gotten away a little bit, is Josh Manson from Anaheim.
Yeah.
And he's a right shot D.
Yeah, because he's got really good edge to his game, too.
Yes. Yeah, just like his dad. So, he's right shot D. He's a couple of years younger. He's 28 years old. And he has a reasonable salary. And he's signed for another season, too. So that's something else Kyle Dubas has mentioned before.
Usually that's his MO. Yeah, he likes to get people with some terms still.
Yeah, so his salary is at $4.45 million for Josh Manson.
Which is probably, so that's around what Riley makes too, isn't it?
I think he's just over, I think he's five, or he might be close to five.
I think he's just under five, actually. Yeah.
But the only other option is that Brett Pesce on Carolina. And I didn't know until I read in the I think it was social media, I was reading that he actually had this shoulder injury. He had shoulder surgery, say that a few times. And so he's been out since March, but still he's a really good defenseman as well. Personally, I just...
And they're pretty deep on D, Carolina is.
Which brings us to the next thing about that with Frederik Andersen.
Yeah.
I was having a little bit of a chat with somebody on social media today on Twitter about it, but... I don't know. I think Leaf fans, Leafs Nation, careful what you wish for when it comes to trading for Frederik Andersen.
Exactly. I am very, very conflicted on this. Like, I don't quite know how I feel. And I look at the players that are available, because I guess that's the whole thing, is that there's going to be a glut of UFA goalies on the market this summer. But none of the names that I see there are... like ones that I would say definitely are better. Like when you look at these goalies and what they've done in the past, you cannot take them completely out of like what their accomplishments are, you know, just and put them right on the individual. Some of it is the D that's in front of them too. And so like you're bringing potentially certain goalies in to play with our defense and our forwards, who don't generally like to be all that responsible always.
Yeah.
And that might be a completely different animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, right? For example, like, I mean, given the only reason why going back from the Carolina perspective, I guess Carolina recently, yeah. I guess the rumors have come out that they're interested in Frederik Andersen. And like they said, I was listening.
They seem
on,
to like our goalies. You know,
yeah,
like
everybody is interested, but it's not necessarily like we're not shopping Frederik Andersen. Like that's what Dubas is doing. But like people have been saying, if somebody calls about the player, regardless of what player it is, you're going to listen, right? And say,
well, just like Dubas likes to get guys that have a bit of term, so does everyone else. And Freddie is one of those guys now. He has 1 year left. So
unless
that makes him attractive too.
The only thing with Carolina, like I can't, like there would have to be some other deal set up for a better goalie. Cause I mean, we're not going into, cause the offer apparently was James Reimer and a first round pick and getting,
would Reimer come back? Yeah. Well, I guess he wouldn't have the choice.
He wouldn't have a choice.
That would just be a nightmare.
And
for him, I think,
and the and first round wife. Pick and the first round pick that we gave them for Marlowe. Yes. That was the offer, which I didn't think was good at all.
No,
but then I thought to myself, unless there was something going on to get for a different goal, like another goalie, because I could not imagine going into the season with James Reimer and Jack Campbell as our goalie tandem. No.
Yeah, no way.
That would be a catastrophe almost. So,
well, I also heard a really interesting tidbit from Arizona that because the Arizona is really under the gun because of this, whole controversy that they might potentially move off of Darcy Kemper. And I heard that Freddie could go there. And like, first of all, obviously Darcy Kemper is a really good goalie. That would be great. But sending Freddie there is like, trying to set it up so that Matthews 100% goes there? Like I saw that and I went, God, no, please do not do that. But
yeah, well, that's the other thing.
That's
to
another
consider.
Thing I saw that was like, that's kind of weird and scary. And
yeah, well, that's the other thing that you have to consider is the team chemistry, the makeup of the team. Like he's been here since our young guys,
our
star
young
players.
Guys came,
he's been here, sort of thing. He's the goalie, so to disrupt that, like, I mean, obviously it's the game, and they know that.
And it's
like
a business.
Yeah, they know that, but still, you need to make sure you have everything, all your ducks in a row when it comes to this kind of thing. And I'm also worried just the way going into the season, like how Freddie handles it. I think I mentioned this last episode too, but just the distraction of being in the contract year, and his agent already spoke out to say that he's heard about all this talk. So obviously, if he's saying it, the player knows it too, sort of thing, right? And he's just, he's a little bit, how do you say it? The soft-spoken guy anyways. So he's, yeah. he could, I mean, he, I think he likes it here, I think. Right. And he, and I really think the problem isn't him. It's the defense in front of him. So regardless of who they get, whoever they get back there, I mean, he's been phenomenal in almost majority of the games. Yes, he hasn't won the big game and he lets in the soft one or whatever from in the playoffs. But if we had a better defense, I don't think we'd have to worry about those things. Right? No. I think we would be winning more. We would have won more of those big games than lost by now. Yeah, but the just to give the listeners the upcoming UFA goalies that are unrestricted free agents after this season. There's Braden Holtby, Robin Lehner, Jacob Markstrom, which is really interesting, from Vancouver, Anton Khudobin from Dallas, and Corey Crawford is the notable UFA goalies. I've been, well, I think most people have been hearing too, like about the possibility of Calgary with that Riddick, David Riddick being.
I've also heard a possibility with like Cam Talbot.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I don't know
about that. I mean, he played really well with the Rangers that year as a backup or with the split with Lundqvist, but I don't know since then.
Speaking of the Rangers, like they're a little bit loaded up too, so that they could get that Georgiev guy potentially.
Yeah.
He might be available.
Well, yeah.
And there's always the question of Matt Murray, which I, you know, with Pittsburgh, I guess, because of that, that's not going to go away because of the history.
Yeah.
Probably.
And like Kyle Dubas said too, all of this really is speculation. I think it really, a lot of it is going to have to wait until the season is over, because a lot of these teams, when it comes to obviously to paying salaries, they depend on the gate revenue. And if there's no fans in the building, they're not going to be getting much revenue. So there's going to be a lot of possible other players that might become available that teams may not be able to afford, or they need they want to move off of, right? So,
and the other thing that it's just such a bizarre and crazy time, because there's all of that. There's the flat cap. There's going to be probably a lot more shorter term deals, I would think. Plus, they also, when they're making these deals, have to keep in mind that Seattle is coming in and they can only protect one goalie in the expansion draft. So that has to be in their mind, too.
You're right.
You know, whoever they're going to pick up, right? Because they have to kind of know right now who it is that they're going to leave unprotected.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And so just to remind the listeners, too, about the signings that Dubas made back in March and April, because it really could impact anyways our bottom six depth. I actually didn't know this guy was only 19 years old, but I mentioned him earlier in the intro, Mikhail Abramov. He's only 19 years old. He's a center right winger who's signed to a 3-year entry level contract. And he was our fourth round pick in 2019. And he played last year in the QMJHL in the Quebec Major Junior League. So with Victoriaville. So I don't know. They're quite high on him too, to give him the opportunity. And I thought to myself, well, if they think he's that good, if Robertson can play at 18 years old, why can't this kid play at 19 years old? Right. So,
Obviously you're going to give him a good look for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we need, obviously we have to fill Kapanen's spot now and we have to, and then who knows what else happens if Janssen is still around or, like even Kyle Clifford. Like, there's lots of questions still. And then there's Alexander Barabanov, who's 25 years old, and he's on a 1-year entry-level contract. And this guy, I think, of course, we have to also think of Zach Hyman, who's also with Frederik Andersen together after next year. They're both UFAs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. His game style, I think it'll be a test this season coming up whenever that starts. Hopefully it does. But his style of play, I think it's going to really, I guess, tell us or tell the Leafs that whether or not he could maybe replace Hyman.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, so anyways, going on to the player contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So reviewing our RFAs, our Evan Rodriguez that we just got from Pittsburgh, Travis Dermott, Ilya Mikheyev, Frederick Gauthier, and Dennis Malgin. So Dermott and Mikheyev, I'm thinking they'll get bridge deals, right? Because of the flat cap and because they basically their year, well, Mikheyev had a major injury and Dermott wasn't what we thought he didn't grow the way we thought he would or the way the team thought he would. So I don't know.
Yeah. And that is like, we'd have to keep in mind with this weird year coming off that shoulder injury. I think that kind of led to his slower start to start with. And then we had all this upheaval. So I just think that potentially that could have, you know, lent itself to having some effect on him. So I guess I think because of the weird year for him, they need to give him at least one more year to see what they have there.
Yeah. And so some of that money too, we have to think too, some of the money that I guess we've gotten rid of from Kapanen and, even Cody Ceci, some of that money has to go to you would think is going to be going towards, they have to get a slight raise, I would think. I don't think they're going to take the same money. Like
Barry was getting just like 275, something like that.
Yeah.
So something like that's what we were paying him.
You're right.
So is that like enough of a raise for Dermott, say?
I don't know.
Because Hall got 2 even, correct? So that would pay him a little bit more than what Justin Hall got.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And then who knows?
He hasn't really proved himself beyond that much, right?
So yeah. Yeah. He might even be
though, is the thing.
Yeah. He might even be part of a deal, though, too. You never know.
Yeah, could be.
I think, because if we're trying to get a defenseman off of a team, you would think they're going to want to
give him something. Yeah.
You got to give them as a defenseman, maybe. Mm-hmm. Not quite as good, but he may be like a secondary part of a deal, of a bigger deal. But I don't know, lots to think about there. But then Gauthier and Malgin, I don't know if they'll get re-signed. They, like we said, I think before, maybe if they accept the league minimum salary of $750,000. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I don't see them. Not with all these other players that we've already gone through that have like entry level contracts. Like I'm sure Malgin is a winger, right? So I think we have other wingers in the system that could probably do just as good.
He kind of interchangeable with Nick Batan?
Yeah. Yeah. That sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. But these are kind of depth guys that they kind of like to use as placeholders.
Yeah. They're all replaceable.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then moving on, I guess, looking at the UFAs that are coming up, we have Kyle Clifford, Spezza, Cody Ceci, and Tyson Barrie. I think we can all agree that both Ceci and Barrie are most likely not coming back. Do you think, though, there is a scenario, however unlikely, that they sign Barrie for like 1 year just to give him one more shot to prop up his numbers?
I don't know.
Because that guy, I'm pretty sure, thought he is going to be cashing in.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't see any scenario where that's happening right now.
No.
Because so many reasons. He had the horrible year. And then now on top of the situation with the flat cap, this is not going to be a banner year for UFAs at all. No. I don't know. I've always had this niggling thing in the back of my mind, wondering if they would just give him, if they are going to just sign him for one more.
We'll have to replay this recording if it happens. We'll say it's Syl's thought from this episode, from our anniversary episode.
Just to be clear, it's not my wish. It's just a thought I had just the niggling thing in the back of my mind. This is not something I want to happen. So I just want all our listeners to know that I am not advocating for bringing him back. And then we also have Kyle Clifford, which I think most people would be happy to see back because he definitely did make a bit of an impact and he adds a little bit of grit that we all kind of like. But again, he might be, I would think if this whole coronavirus thing didn't happen, it would have been like basically a lock that he would be re-signed. Yeah. But yeah. Now that we've got this flat cap situation, it's a question of whether or not we have room for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then lastly, we have Jason Spezza. And gosh, this is a toughie. I think he obviously made a great impression on the team, but he is 37 years old and we do have some depth that we could see playing more on, more often. So he takes a spot of somebody younger, right? But on the other hand, he is great for our younger players and we have so little veteran presence and they need that. I mean, I think younger players need to have somebody who models things the right way and someone to learn from. And there's not enough guys like that on our team. So if he would come back for the league minimum again, maybe that would be good. I think that would be super smart and awesome if they would give him like an assistant coaching position with player development. So because he does a lot of work with the younger guys. So I don't know. What do you think? What's your feeling on Spezza?
Yeah. I mean, like mine is more so about the veteran presence or thing. Not so much, obviously being he is like a fourth line player, obviously. And he's 37 years old, like you said, but the impression that he, just like Patrick Marleau, right? Like he's basically the same, done the same, like Marleau did. He's a good guy to have in the room, and I personally think we do need that at least one guy like that. But then,
oh, for sure.
But then, I mean, you do have if they keep Clifford and Muzzin. Like those are both cup winners, right? Like they have that experience as well. Maybe they're not. I mean, I think Jake Muzzin. Well, I think both of them might be 30 years at least old, but they've been through it before. So maybe that's enough experience. Just and, those two guys,
and as slightly younger players too.
So. Right. Yeah. So you might want to maybe give the extra $750,000 to Clifford if you can. So, but I don't know because they're both fourth line players. But
that one really tugs at the heartstrings, though, because there's a lot of emotion built up in that, which I never ever in a million years imagined I would feel for a former Ottawa Senator. Never ever did I think that I would feel that for Jason Spezza. But I don't know, he showed me some things this year. Anyways, like everything else, we're going to see how it all shakes out. So,
And then, and then there's Freddie and Zach Hyman who are UFAs next season. So that's they're going into the final year of their current contracts. So those are two key guys that have been here quite a while as part of the you could say the core. I mean, it would be a pretty big shakeup if either of those two guys are gone after, well, maybe even before this season starts, who knows. So we'll see what happens. One thing that would be interesting on defense, just because we were talking before the show about the Bruins, I won't get into this too much because it'll take too long.
Yeah,
but we could really screw the Bruins if we could get Tory Krug. Is the guy, I looked it up here on Cap Friendly. Yeah. He's the UFA this year. Could you imagine getting him away from, I don't know, is he a left-handed defenseman or what? Oh, he's left-handed. No,
he's lefty. They're all freaking lefties.
If we could screw the Bruins somehow, that would be great.
Yeah. Oh, it would be nice, tonight, but so. Yeah. One can only hope.
Yes, yeah.
We'll all be cheering.
Yeah.
Some team in blue and white is going to defeat the Bruins.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not our blue and white, but that's okay for now. We'll take what we can get. All right.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, I guess this is the most exciting part.
Yes. We're coming up onto the end of our episode. So before we do that, we wanted to kind of, since it's our anniversary, give our thoughts on what our favorite episode is. So of our own episode, like, not that we're tooting our own horns, but, you know, this, we're just reflecting back on our first year and, you know, what we've done and how things have changed and how things have grown and wondering what your favorite episode is, Chris, that we've done so far.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, it's not, like you said, it's not making a big deal out of our episodes, but I think we're excited. We're just excited about the fact that the show has gone so well. And mm-hmm. so I wanted to go back and I wanted to see the one show that I thought was, that I thought we did good was actually, Finding Our Groove, which is the November episode. And, mm-hmm. I liked it because it was, I guess, like covering basically the start of the season. And I was mm-hmm. really excited. And you could tell the excitement in our voices. And it's just funny when you go back and you listen to some of these episodes as to what we were talking about at the time. And it's like, you know, you're talking about the Tavares captaincy. We very briefly mentioned about the Austin Matthews Arizona issue. Because that had gone on as well, which is stupid. But anyways, and then we were talking, like, Babcock was in there too, because he was still the coach. And we were talking a little bit about him. And then, of course, I really liked the fact that was our first on the road with Chris and Syl. Our road trip segment. Mm-hmm. So, and we only got
that
to
do, was a really good one.
Yeah. So we actually had just gone on our road trip to Detroit. Yep. So yeah, so our listeners, definitely, we're going to plug it here because we had only had two episodes. We've gone on a few road trips ourselves, but we had this year, in our episodes, we had the two episodes, one going to Detroit, which was the November episode. And then in February, we had our Nashville episode because we've been to Nashville as well. So if you guys, you could go on, I guess, back on our, go on your apps and you could see all of our episodes there. And if you want to look at road trips, you can definitely go back and listen to those. But that's basically the one that I liked the most, I guess. Although there was another, although I did like our Christmas one too. I liked the little jingles you had in there. Which one did you like?
I'm going to pick our very first episode. I know that seems like maybe a bit of a cop out, but I'm picking that one because we overcame lots of technical difficulties and things. Like, there was just so many different things, different learning curves, things that we had to overcome and learn how to do, and all the technological things. Like, you know, if people think we have people that help us with this, that's not the case. We actually do all of this stuff on our own, and we've been learning on our own and just kind of getting a little bit better all the time. And just to kind of see how we put that together, and it came off pretty good for our first attempt. I think I kind of knew in that moment that we were going to be all right. So yeah, that's why I picked that one.
Yeah, that was,
because it's sort of shown, you know, where, you know, we have come far, but I, even given all the stuff we had to go through to get to that point, it came off pretty decent. So
yeah. So that was the time to meet our public episode. So the episode number one. So yeah. Right. So yeah, definitely go back and listen to any of our, it's fun going back and listening to the different, because you just see how the team has evolved the whole year sort of thing. It's just so many things that you can't possibly remember. But yeah.
Yep. So now the moment we've all been waiting for. Drum roll, please. So we want to say thank you to everyone that took the time to enter our anniversary contest. We appreciate so much all our listeners and our social media followers. So without any further ado, the winner of the $50 e-gift card is Music Chick Art, who follows us on Instagram. So we are so happy. Woo! Thanks for entering the contest. We love you and appreciate you. We are going to DM you and find out from you what your gift card choice is. And as always, we want to thank all our listeners. And basically, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, this has been an awesome, awesome year and a very up and down roller coaster. And we like that we get to ride this with our fellow Leaf fans. We're always, as we mentioned, we're always on the lookout for making our show better, and we're just going to keep trying to improve and bring you different stuff. And we're excited about that. Chris, about you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, we're going to try to keep improving every year, doing different stuff on the show. And keep listening. Give us your feedback. Follow us on social media. There's Instagram, Twitter, and we do have a Facebook page now. So we're trying to get people on there too. And so our handle is at LTL1917. You can also email us, ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. And it's been a great year. I mean, I can't believe it was Syl's idea from the start. So we managed to do this, and I just kind of show up and talk, which everybody knows I love to talk about the Leafs. So we both do, but and there's never a shortage, and I'm sure Kyle Dubas will come up with something before our next show. So
absolutely, because I never really thought for sure that, you know, that they were going to pull the trigger on something this fast. So anyways.
Yeah. So we'll talk to you in October.
Yep. Bye. Bye.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.